Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. This is Brother Tommy Bullock with my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there? Sister Reed, are you in the house this evening? All right, as usual, it appears we have a few technical difficulties, but we will have Sister Reed with us shortly. And of course, as we go through the day and we talk about things that pertain to what's happening here in the U.S., we will get into what is happening with the GOP. And what their end game, if they have one. In the meantime, while we're figuring out these difficulties and what's going on and waiting for my co-host to dive in, okay, that was weird. All right, Sister Reed, if you hear me, go ahead and try to get back in, and we'll try to figure out just what is going on this evening. But in the meantime, we will step forward. So, as you know, the vote for the debt ceiling bill passed through the House, even though it was said that it would be held up. And you had members of the Freedom Caucus wanting not to vote for it. But yet, it passed by a healthy margin in the House. From there, it went on to the Senate, where I'm quite sure it will have no problem getting through. Like everything lately with the GOP, there seems to be this madness and this hate that they just can't seem to get together. Sister Reed, did you make it in?
Yes, Brother Bullock. I was there at first. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
And then all of a sudden, you were gone, and it was like, I know I just saw her.
Well, yeah, I was there at 8 o'clock. You know, I pride myself on being prompt. But please continue with what you were saying so I can play catch-up.
Yeah, that's the beauty of electronics and mass media. It's always something crazy. No, I was just saying how we had the debt ceiling vote and how – you know, we had all these threats from the GOP about how they were going to shut it down. But yet, in the House, it passed by over 100 extra votes.
Right. Nobody wanted to, you know, this is one of those nonpartisan kind of issues where nobody wants to see it crash and burn. And I think Republican House members understood that they needed to get on board and get this done before June 5th. Excuse me.
You are absolutely correct, because whether they realize it or not, had they sat back or tried to do something out of the ordinary, they were doing more harm to themselves than they realized.
Well, exactly. Absolutely right. I mean, with the guy from Utah, I think his name is Chris Stewart, who is stepping down because his wife is sick. I believe it's
right.
Like a 3-vote majority in the House, and so they're going to have to step very carefully to hold on to that slim majority.
Yes, they are. And I was also hearing where the former president, number 45, the prosecutor who's investigating him, appears to have his voice on tape saying that he was withholding some government documents.
I heard something about that.
As if he didn't have enough problems.
Well, you know, he's got plenty of problems. 45 has got plenty of problems. I just was reading just before we came on air that 45 is now not wanting to use the term woke, even though he has been tossing this around up in the air back and forth for a long, long time. But I think this is supposed to be a jab at his buddy DeSantis in Florida. So, yeah, he doesn't want to use the term woke anymore.
And I was just reading where
about what was replacing woke for him.
Exactly. And I was just reading where the case with Disney, the judge that was originally assigned the case, is stepping down because he found out one of his relatives has a connection to it. And he's being replaced with one of 45's nominees for judge.
Wow, I think I saw that. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think this judge is just going to roll over and give DeSantis a pass?
You know, I would like to think that a judge would come in there and rule by the rule of law and do what is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I both know anyone with a connection to 45 is subject to do something shady. Why?
Well, yeah.
Because they think there's a payoff at the end.
Well, this is true, and we've already seen how that plays out on the federal level with the Supreme. So, yeah. Absolutely. And
one thing for a fact, it's going to be interesting.
Oh, yes, it definitely is. And I'm saying that about the Supreme Court because, you know, right now they've got that conservative majority and they are going to be ruling on affirmative action here coming up pretty soon. We're going to see how that plays out.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of playing out, that brings us to our topic tonight, the GOP 2023-24. What truly is their end game? Is it about the presidency, Senate seats, House majority, taking over as many states as possible? What is truly their end game? Because to be honest, nationwide you see them playing a lot of games, but you really don't see them governing. And I'm not saying that to try to be funny. I'm just being honest about it.
Right.
Most of the laws passed in certain states have been anything from putting rules in place so children, and I do mean children, could work in dangerous situations, or attacking black folks and learning institutions, are attacking transgender rights, are attacking gay rights.
Yes.
But you don't see, you're not seeing anything to truly do with improving the situation of the country.
Exactly. And you know, I'm so glad that you laid that out the way that you did, because during my research, and we had spoke about this briefly before, I wanted to go back and figure out what it is that Republicans believe, right? Because I'm trying to get to the base of why they're not doing a better job at governing and why the things that they're passing and putting forth are so hateful. And so if you allow me, I'm going to state the four core beliefs that Republicans are supposed to have, according to this website, Soapboxy. So
you go right ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and do this, if that's all right with you.
You go right ahead.
All right. So number one, government is not the solution to domestic social problems. That's number one that Republicans believe. Number two, state control should outweigh federal control. And number four, the free market should control all financial decisions. Now, that's the core four for Republicans. That was three. The fourth one is religion and the belief in God is vital to a strong nation. So that is the core for small government, states' rights, a free market system rules everything, and religion and the belief in God is vital to a strong nation. Now, I'm going to read what this website has as the rest of the things that are derivative of those four core. They say taxes should be lower. We need a strong military. Everything should be privatized. Homosexuals do not deserve equal rights. Number nine, gun control violates the Second Amendment. Number 10, abortion is murder. Number 11, global warming is not a thing. Number 12, evolution is not a legitimate thing. A legitimate theory. Evolution is not a legitimate theory. Number 13, America should deport illegal immigrants. Number 14, poverty must solve itself. Let me repeat that. Number 14, poverty must solve itself. Number 15, capital punishment is good. And number 16, the 2020 election was stolen. Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me just take one of your points. Illegal immigrants should be deported. Now.
Yeah.
Should we follow that theory, do you realize if illegal immigrants should be deported, none of those folks who came over on the Mayflower and their descendants would be here?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
because,
I do.
They can say...
And not only that, Brother Bullock, how would the majority of farmers get their produce to market? How would so many large hotel chains get things done in their kitchens and in their housekeeping departments? I'm just talking, and I'm not trying to pigeonhole people who are coming here for a better life. I'm just saying, you know, what's out there. So I agree with you. This is what Boxing says are derivatives of the Republican core four beliefs.
That's a true statement that you just made, because just recently I was looking through some things on the internet and ran across some images from the state of Florida where currently you have a picking season going on, but yet crop crops are rotting in the field because the very people who would be out there taking care of these jobs have been run out of the state by Ron DeSantis with his new rules. And all these MAGA white folks who talk about immigrants are taking our jobs have not reported to a field near them to take these jobs over.
All right, now.
So
you make a
melons
point.
Are rotting. Melons are rotting in the field. Tomatoes are rotting in the field. Oranges and citrus fruit is still hanging on the tree. So you always want to talk about illegals, but these folks come in, take care of these crops, get them harvest, get them to market. But
right.
yet, the very people who scream and they're taking our jobs, too good to put their behinds in a field and do the same job.
Exactly, Brother Bullock. And I just want to add, tack something onto the end of what you just said, which was perfectly correct. Why isn't the government going after the businesses that are hiring these folks? That's what I want to know. Why punish the worker? Why not punish the employer if you have to punish somebody? But
I can tell you exactly why.
All right.
I can tell you exactly why. Because the owners of these businesses are usually Anglo-Saxons with big bucks, and they donate to campaigns.
Wow. Yep. And they're loath to pay a living wage. You know, they hate unions. Yes. I agree
with you. We live here in the Central Valley, and I don't care what nobody say. Fresno, California, the Central Valley is the bread basket of America. You name it,
this is true.
We make sure y'all get it. We are known for that. You name it, we make sure that y'all get it.
Yep.
But when you start harassing farm workers here, you could definitely go without.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People can reference that great boycott in the 70s. Yes.
Yes, they can. And for those of you who don't know, and giving much respect to Cesar Chavez, the farm workers that made it pop here in the Central Valley in the early 50s, 60s, 70s was the black,
the
Armenian, and Italian farm workers.
Yes, say it.
That is how what you have now came to be. All these Hispanic farm workers you have got their start thanks to black farm workers.
It's true. It's very true. And for people who want to know more about some of these black farm laborers, they can check out Michael Eisner's book. He wrote his dissertation about these rural black communities in Central California. That's Michael Eisner, y'all, with two S's.
Yes, he did.
So, yes.
So, jumping into our topic tonight, you know, it covers the brushes cover a broad stroke. So, I'm going through some information, and I knew that Governor Greg Hot Wheels Abbott of Texas was playing border games and sending his border patrol and highway patrol up. Well, then Texas, they call it the Department of Public Safety. And sending them along with the National Guard to the Texas border. Well, what I come to find out was he had made a request to the governor of Virginia, Mr. Youngkin, and asked for support. So Mr. Youngkin, in all of his intelligence, decided he was sending Virginian National Guard members to the Texas border to help stop the flow of illegal drugs and human trafficking. Last time I checked, we have a National Guard. We have United States troops that the federal government has control of. And if I'm not mistaken, President Biden had actually sent troops to the border.
Yes, he has.
So Why are these governors playing border games? I'll tell you why.
It's a political stunt. Go ahead, because I need to know more about this.
Well, you just said it. It is a political stunt. And when you can't govern, you play games and pull stunts.
Come on, Brother Bullock. Preach.
For example, Ken Paxton, who was the attorney general in Texas, just got suspended from his office, brought up on charges. But yet is still dealing with that and dealing with the fact that Texas school districts was having a big problem with sexual predators. Again, Greg Hot Wheels Abbott is playing border games and shipping people to different states, spending that money on that instead of trying to clean up his own house, instead of sweeping around his own front door.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He's another one who had the nerve to mumble about running for president. They voted for Roosevelt. He was in a wheelchair. They can do it for me.
That is something.
Where do you draw the line? Why are you, as governors in red states, playing these games of, hey, call me and we'll do this together? Because not only is it Virginia and Texas, Arkansas, of all places, done jumped into that pool. And I'm trying to figure out why Sarah Huckabee Sanders would even go that route, although she's trying to copy off the governor of Iowa and said, we're going to put children to work in factories.
Right.
Which is sort of working.
Right. Right. Which is, if I'm not mistaken, don't they want people on the other end of that spectrum to continue to work past their normal retirement age?
That also.
Okay. So you got to, wow. So this is definitely not Ronald Reagan's party. I don't think the great communicator would understand the party of what the Republicans are now compared to what they were during Nixon's time or his time in office. I seriously doubt that. I'm looking at some numbers and wow, it just, but the things that you're saying though, Brother Bullock, I mean, the hatefulness, the shenanigans, the chaos that they're stirring up, because as you said, they're not governing. How long can they keep up something like this before they start to collapse the economies in their own states?
Exactly. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, they talk about they want a smaller government. They want this and that. So I'll use Florida, for example. Hurricane season is coming. So you swear you won't know help from the federal government. That is until Hurricane Bigfoot rolled through there and destroy a city. Then all of a sudden you want FEMA funds.
Right. Come on.
And see, my thing is, if you want a smaller government, shouldn't you deny those funds? Shouldn't you not ask for them if you want to take care of your own?
Exactly. And if everything is privatized, then that should be coming out of your state budget. Since you want states to have, you know, to outweigh federal law. So
exactly.
You can't have it both ways. Nobody can.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah,
like
Hurricane
Youngkin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with Youngkin, although he's sending these troops down to the border from Virginia, some Republican members have praised him, but the majority of the Democrats, you know, they categorize that move as absurd and disingenuous.
Right.
It's right. Like, what is, and a few Republicans, they want to know, what in the hell is he doing?
Exactly. And it is.
Because like,
it,
you,
it is.
Like you just said, it's taking away from the state budget.
You know, I was thinking about one of the statements that the Boxy website said, that poverty must solve itself. And how are you going to do that when poverty is like the fourth leading cause of death in the United States at this time? It's the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. So it appears to me that the current Republican Party wants to have it both ways. They say they want smaller government. They're all for deregulation. But when you have all these billionaires and millionaires and these huge corporations donating large sums of money, like we were talking about Tuesday, they're initially running the country, and the rest of us are just getting dragged along. And, you know, we're going to wind up suffering for it. This country is going to suffer if something if the brakes aren't put on these GOP politicians, because they are out of hand. They are out of hand. And it's not that I hate conservatives. I really don't. They have a, you know, it's up to them to decide how they want to do their political leaning. But when you are doing so much destructive behavior, somebody's got to call them on that. And that's why we're talking about this tonight.
You know, and that's the whole thing. Once upon a time, Republicans really thought intelligently. They really did. And I say that in the mid-70s, early 80s, they put thought to what they were doing. These
right.
Republicans today, it's like they try to out-bozo one another.
I'm laughing, Brother Bula, because you put that beautifully. You did.
Well,
you put that beautifully.
And they come up.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, the time frame that you laid out, the 70s and early to mid 80s. Okay, so remember when after Nixon's resignation and the GOP took such a beating, you know, in the press and everything, the GOP really started a lot of think tanks, and places like the Heritage Foundation and things like that, where they had, you know, all the people did was sit around and think about how they were going to change the country to, you know, have better conservative values. And I'm trying to picture that, these think tanks, against what is going on today. And I'm like,
right.
I don't get it.
Well, because now what started out as an honest-to-God think tank for improvement has become a factory for evil. They think of the most ludicrous. It's like, let's attack the Hispanics. Let's attack the blacks. They got a think tank now that thinks of nothing but hatred. How to attack Jewish people in their communities, how to attack blacks in schools and diversity. These are the kind of think tanks are out there now.
Wow. That
and like you
something.
Said, they're funded by big money.
Yep. They are.
And you were right they on are. Point when you said that big money now runs the country, because it does.
It does. And the way that you laid it out with the different ethnic groups is right on the money, because I can remember some of the stuff coming out of these think tanks was the war on drugs. And we know that they were talking about hippies who could be, you know, whatever color, mostly, you know, whites who use drugs or whatever. And then the war on drugs was about black people and attacking the black community. So they're still holding on to that. And you laid it out very well. I could not have said that better myself.
Well, you know, it's funny how now certain key phrases have taken the place of different words they used to use in dog whistles. You and I both know that the word woke is just another way of using the N-word.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it amazes me how whenever you're not willing to go along with mistreatment of people, somehow you're woke. Because Target is selling Pride merchandise, they're woke. Oh, they're woke. Go woke and go broke. Really? Now, Chick-fil-A has gone from being the conservative's favorite to not being God's chicken all of a sudden.
Yeah, I heard that Chick-fil-A just had a diversity executive for their company. And I find that interesting. I personally don't buy Chick-fil-A because of how they are politically and socially, for the same reason I don't shop at Hobby Lobby. And I am so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. When I was in Texas, I was working for a big time cellular company. And we had different restaurants on our list that we could order from for the company when we were holding a function. Chick-fil-A was one of them, until so many of us I was the head of diversity group in our company. So many of us complained and took it to our bosses about why we felt the way we felt about them, that they took Chick-fil-A off that list. And the corporate at Chick-fil-A wanted to know why, because trust me, they was losing a big amount of money from the company I worked for. And they broke it down to them. It's like, you have some leanings that a lot of people who work for us are not comfortable with, and we have to keep our employees happy.
Right.
And
well,
that was
well
the one
done.
Time I can honestly say a company stood up for the people that worked in it.
Right.
And out of the ones we dealt with, that was the only one we had a real problem with. Everybody else was cool. See? But as you know, Chick-fil-A's philosophy ain't a good one.
Yeah. I do know that. And so I'm wondering, and it appears to me that the fact that that they were losing so much business is why they're hiring this diversity executive now to try to rethink, and I'm putting that in quotes, their approach to certain things. And I wish that person a lot of luck, because they have got their work cut out for them.
They do. They have their work cut out for them.
Yes,
and
they do.
The other thing is, will they be allowed to honestly do their job?
Exactly. Exactly. Or is this just another, you know, and I believe it's a woman. So from their standpoint, that's a twofer. She's African American, and she's a woman. And is that going to make a difference? And see, these are the things that people in America, in this country, don't have to kind of deal with. The way race plays such a big part in our lives in this country. And we definitely need to talk about that when it comes to the GOP, for the black people who are, or I should say, the people of color who are running for president in this upcoming race.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that you brought that up, because you know what? This is why you my favorite co-host, because it's like we connected to a certain degree now. Off of what you just said, black folks and people of color running for president in the GOP. As you know, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Larry Elder, those three claim they're running for president. Tim Scott has always made this thing of bringing up the story about how racist the nation's past was and how his grandfather was forced from school in the third grade, you know, to pick cotton in the Jim Crow South. And Nikki Haley speaks about, you know, being an Indian immigrant who's lived in a small city in South Carolina and the loneliness of isolation of growing up being the child of those immigrant people and being the only Indian family around. And of course, Larry Elder tells this story of how his father was a porter on a train in the Deep South, and he always carried around a tin of sardines and soda crackers with him because he never knew he'd be able to eat wherever they went.
Right.
But yet, these are the same people who would turn around and talk about, well, you know, despite all of that, especially Tim Scott, despite all of that, my family went from picking cotton to Congress, and I did it because I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, and I was taken in by the content of my character and not my color, and I was allowed to do what everyone else was doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you and I both know that's drama and drag.
Thank you. These bootstrap biographies, as some people will call them. In fact, I have a quote. I'm so glad you laid that out beautifully for me, Brother Bullock, because I've got a quote from, and I'm sure you've read this, from Bakari Sellers, who is from South Carolina. He's a Democratic political commentator. And he says, and he knows Tim and Nikki. And he says that he finds this gap in their reasoning troubling. The fact that, you know, they're saying one thing, but the reality is something else about people of color and black people in this country. And Stuart Stevens, who is a former GOP consultant for Mitt Romney, he says it's really a variation of victim politics. He says people accuse you of being a racist. Well, you know, that's unfair. Vote for me. Therefore, you'll prove that you're not a racist. I mean, talk about shenanigans and riding in the clown car. So they're flipping that whole victim narrative to their benefit, or so they feel that they're doing.
You're absolutely correct. You're correct. And Brother Sellers has said it. Systematic racism, which they want to ignore, is truly a problem here in the United States. But yet,
exactly,
those three will tell you that systematic racism doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. When we know that it does. So in my notes, Brother Bullock, I've written, are they overcomers or blind to reality? And that was just my note to myself about this portion of
but
the show.
But no, that right there is a, you know, that right there is a true and fair statement, because that would be just like you and I all of a sudden, and you know we stand for social justice, always have, but that would be like you and I getting up tomorrow and saying social justice is a farce. It's not social justice. It's that we as blacks don't do what we're supposed to.
Right.
If we only did what we were told to do, we wouldn't have any problems whatsoever.
Any problems.
Do you know how big that would go over with the crowd that we deal with?
Exactly. And it would be incorrect.
it would be incorrect.
Yes. It would go over like a lead balloon. And I'm hoping that people who are listening to this show will understand that we are not pounding on the GOP for no good reason. We are talking about what the GOP, what the Republican Party has morphed into over the years. And the fact that, you know, some black candidates and people of color don't want to admit what is going on. In fact, I have got something from the website Insider up on my screen, Brother Bullock. I'm going to just read this real quick. And this is a comparison as to what the GOP was before and what it is after. It says that the support from African-Americans in the GOP has dwindled. In 1976, voters supporting the Republican Party were made up of 52% whites and 16% blacks. By 2004, voters supporting the Republican Party were made up of 58% whites and 11% blacks. Now, that is a hell of a drop. You know, not to mention the fact that young people are falling off the GOP wagon in record numbers. So, according to this poll, in 72, there young people who were eligible to vote, 52% voted for the Republican Party. In 1976, 47% of young people voted for the Republican Party, and in 2008, that had dropped down to 32% who voted for the Republican Party.
Right.
So,
well, you know, they say around 3 in 10 black Republicans, 28% are ages 18 to 29. That's higher than among black Democrats, which is 17%, and white Republicans, which are 10%. Republicans are less likely than black Democrats and white Republicans to be 65 or older. 9% are in that group.
Whoa.
And 18% of black Democrats have a similar income profile to black Democrats. So my question is this, you're voting GOP, but yet you're still not better off. So my question is, what's the deal?
Exactly.
And if you have an answer, want to tell us, call the number. It's 563-999-3043.
Now, see, Brother Bullock, you put forth a question that I often ask of white voters who happen to be in Appalachia or in rural Oklahoma or rural Kansas who are just barely getting by, people who, I don't know, might be on welfare. It doesn't really make a difference, but people who are either close to or below the poverty line who are still voting Republican. And I'm trying to figure out why is that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they're hoping that if they ever get above the poverty line, then they can start to reap some of the benefits of the Republican Party. But I don't even think it would be something like that, because you'd have to be a millionaire or billionaire to really reap all the benefits of being a Republican supporter. But that's just me. I'm just, you know, spouting off.
Well, again, it goes back to that same old, same old. If you can make the lowest white man think he's better than any black man, he'll vote for us, and we can still pick his pockets.
See, true words have never been spoken. You're right about that. I agree with you, Brother Bullock. I agree with you. And isn't that really too bad? It makes me think of the Rainbow, the original Rainbow Coalition that Brother Fred Hampton of the Black Panther Party in Chicago was putting together. And he had everybody. He had the Brown Berets. He had people from this Appalachian area that I'm talking about. He had everybody. He had Asian Americans. He had everybody.
Yeah, he had the Brown Berets. He had the Yellow Pearl. He had the Appalachian Coalition. Fred Hampton had truly put together Operation Push to a certain extent. He had people from every area, and they were all of the same mindset because they were all suffering the same calamities and ideas.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what we need. That's what we need now. You know, Brother Bullock, and you and I talk about this all the time on this show, that when people really sit down and think about it and try not to be so, marginalized into their own corners, we are more alike than different. Let me say that again. As people, as human beings, we are more alike than we are different. But we also are students of reality, and we know what the reality of this country is for people who look like us.
Yes,
but if we work together, we can make a better country.
Speaking of that reality, we're going to get back on the topic, which is the GOP and their end game. So
all right.
Looking at the GOP, all right, so what is it they are really trying to do with the way, if you want to call it govern. I don't call it governing when you attack children and their sexuality. I don't call it governing when you are upset because marginalized people are starting to make forward progress. That's not governing.
No. No, it's not. And we have to call it out when we see it. We have to call it out. That's not governing. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So as you know, with the debt ceiling bill, okay, which has passed our Senate, okay, final count on that was 63-36. 17 Republicans opposed. And you actually have four Democrats who voted against them. Of course, one of them being Mr. Manchin, that clown.
Wow. Right.
But in order for the United States to thrive, concessions are needed, and we need to get a deal approved to move forward.
Yeah. Yes.
So tell me, why is it Republicans? Really, really, I mean, okay, say that the president gave in and gave the Republicans everything they wanted. What would happen next?
Well, we would dissolve into chaos. That is what that's the pot that they're stirring. And Joe Biden talked about this. He talked about this in January 2022. And he said, I want to know what the Republicans stand for. And this is a quote from Biden. He says, I did not anticipate that there would be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important effort was to make sure that President Biden didn't get anything done. He said, name one thing that they're for. Now, this is the president saying this. Name one thing that they're for. And I say this. This is me saying this. Biden has to remember that throughout his tenure with President Obama, Congress was four square against both of them. Remember, they wanted to make sure that nothing got through. And it was a miracle and a lot of political wrangling that got the health care, affordable health care, through. Nancy Pelosi and her team did a great job on that, politicking that. But they were against, both houses were against Obama the entire 8 years that he was in office. So when Biden's asking, what do they stand for? That's a good question. We all need to ask that question. You already laid out, Brother Bullock, the fact that they're not governing now.
No, they're not. No. Now, again, you heard me earlier say, in Florida, these crops are in the field, and all these folks talking about, hey, what they ain't doing. So I was sitting here and just happened to get this alert. So I go to the alert, and it's a, well, I pull it up right quick.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see is there's a CNN reporter. He's working a watermelon field. It's him, group of black farm workers, and like I said, we already know there are black farm workers. And there's a few Hispanics. Right. And actually, there's a few white guys. And one of the white guys said, well, I came out here because I wanted to prove that I could do this job. And then he said, but I'm going to be honest. He said, but then I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't want to do this every day. He said, because now I know exactly what the Hispanic farm workers are going through.
Wow.
He said, I have so much more respect for them now.
Now, see, that's huge.
He said, it's easy for you to sit back and talk about these people until you realize what these people are really going through.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's today's Republican Party. They want to villainize people. They want to play this game about, for example, just read a report about fentanyl where 45 said he had made a deal with the president of China that if he got reelected, they're going to stop the flow of fentanyl from China into the U.S., which made me question, so what is all this noise about all this fentanyl coming through the southern border from Marjorie Taylor Greene, from Boebert, from Matt Gaetz, from Biggs, all these Republicans screaming about the fentanyl coming in from the southern borders. This is why we're sending our people down there to keep it from coming in. Yet it's coming over here, folks from China.
Right. And remember, we talked about this on Tuesday, how China is the biggest foreign lobby bloc with $333 million plus dollars pouring into these campaigns in the U.S. So, wow, Brother Boyd. It's now interesting how that just dovetails into what you just stated. Wow. That was some right-on reporting you just did.
What is the end game of the GOP? You have all these people, 45, DeSantis, Chris Christie, Youngkin. You got all these folks, Tim Scott, Nikki. You got all these folks out here positioning themselves, claiming they are going to run for president on the GOP ticket.
Right.
My question again is, what is their true end game? Is it all about playing games and lying? Because I'm going to be honest, none of them have come up with an honest policy.
Exactly. And they should be talking about their platform at this point. That should already be in the books, in their books, what they're going to talk about as they run. But I really believe whoever gets the nomination for the GOP for president is going to be up against it, because who do they want? Who is really running this country? Big money? The lobbyists, the corporations, that is not the population of the United States. And we need to be clear about that. That U.S. Constitution says, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. So where does our vote lie? We need to be asking some serious questions of these candidates, and I really hope somebody's gonna do that on a regular basis with these GOP candidates.
You know, when I put the slideshow together this time, I was just looking at it going, if I was voting Republican, I could honestly look at this and say we were in trouble.
Yeah, the only, you know what, the best thing part of your slideshow was the tie. I was good.
The who?
The tie.
Which one?
The knotted tie that had the GOP elephant on it.
Hey.
Because
you know what my favorite one was? You know what my favorite one was?
And I am not a Republican. I was embarrassed.
My favorite one. My favorite one was the mouse.
Oh.
I'll be here longer than you will.
That's true. That's true. That was funny. You have some
you
really funny
mess,
things to say, so I have
you
to
don't mess
to
with the mouse. You don't mess with the mouse.
You don't get a cheese.
And you know, here's the thing. You know, here's the thing with your boy DeSantis. He has gone out of his way to hijack a university down there to try to turn it into this conservative college. And those students, I have to give them their props. They are not just rolling over, putting up with it. They're giving them hell.
And well,
they
should.
They are protesting.
Yeah. Well, good.
They are standing their ground.
Absolutely.
They are letting them know that.
It's going to backfire on them.
Yeah.
For sure.
They're letting them know that they're not going to let them walk on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be forced. And they're not going to be forced into accepting something that they didn't go there for.
Exactly. And I urge all of our listeners, if your government is banning books, the next thing you know, they're going to be burning books. And that is something that we do not want to happen in the home of the free and the land of the brave. This is not what America is about. And, you know, Abe Lincoln talked about looking for better angels. And that's what we need to be doing in this country instead of ripping each other apart and playing these partisan political games that the GOP is fine-tuning, as it were. It doesn't have to be like that. And I would urge everybody, if you believe in freedom, go read a banned book. Check out one from the library. Buy one at your Barnes & Noble. Get it for your kid. Buy them Catcher in the Rye and let them make their own decisions about it. Don't let the haters win.
Don't let the haters win. And, you know, you just spoke on book banning and book burning. Now, DeSantis says not a single book in Florida was banned. School districts there have removed dozens under his orders.
Mm. So what's he talking
about?
So your boy's talking on both sides of his mouth now? Uh-huh.
He has a doctor say that book banning in Florida is a hoax. There has not been a single book banned in the state of Florida. He said that on May 24th.
Wow.
You can go buy or you can use whatever book you want. Yet he has fired teachers behind using certain books.
Right. So that is like what, de facto book banning? If you're going to fire teachers who are teaching out of these texts that he doesn't think is appropriate, you know, who does he think we are? Boo Boo the Fool? We can mash the dots together and figure this out. And thank goodness the young people in Florida are doing just that.
Exactly, because they passed a bill that set a rule for public school libraries and the books that they are allowed to put out.
Well, I know that there's
the
some
bill
states,
was,
and Florida and Texas are probably two of the most flagrant ones that are rewriting their textbooks. you know, to make
yes,
sure the CRT does not get in. But what they don't understand is, Brother Bullock, it's human nature to want to look at what people are telling you not to look at. That's just human nature. So they're really just throwing gasoline on what they're trying to not have happen. They're just making it worse. So
well, in Florida, that bill was known as HB 1467, known as the Curriculum Transparency Bill.
Curriculum Transparency.
But again,
oh, wow.
But again, they want to claim none of this has been done. Like I said, what are Republicans' end game? And it like I said, it's state to state. You know, people, I love when people talk to me and go, but you live in California. You're damn right I live in California. And I can say this about my governor. He ain't perfect, but my governor is on top of it.
More so than the rest of these clowns.
More so than the rest of them. Now, they are talking about these cutting people away from food stamps. Gavin Newsom, to his credit, then already sit down and formulated a plan to help out those who may find themselves off the national roll.
Right.
Now, like I said, he's not perfect, but
no, Gavin's got
the governor of California, he been looking out for us.
But I really think that Gavin understands that he better understands the people in his state than you know, DeSantis does. And Californians are just not going to put up with certain things. And something like that that's going on in Florida and in Texas, that would never fly in California. It just wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't.
It wouldn't. So best, you know, best not to try it. You know, best not to try it. But, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about all these things on the show because we were talking earlier in the week about the people who are coming into this GOP brouhaha of the candidacy for the president. And Chris Christie, you know, I always laugh about him because of Bridgegate and all the stuff he's been through. And I'm trying to figure out which is more silly and ludicrous, to have a Chris Christie in the White House, to have 45 do a repeat, or to have somebody like DeSantis, who is doing a terrible job of being governor of Florida. I mean, it's just, I fear for the country if one of these,
you know,
men gets to be president.
As quiet as is kept, and even though I know his people will lie about it, DeSantis' polling numbers are not doing that good. He is doing a whole lot worse than he was before he announced.
See? Gee, I wish I could say I'm heartbroken, but I'm not. And I'm hoping that, you know, the Democrats are on point on their game when they get ready to do what they're going to do for this presidential run. You know, I'm not sad about DeSantis numbers dipping. I'm really, really not. I don't see a really strong candidate coming out of that field. Do you, Brother Bullock?
Well, let's be honest. Let's look at the field, okay? You got Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Vivek Ramsey. You got Youngkin, 45, Chris Christie, DeSantis, and out of all of those folks I done named off, none of them appeal to me. And you know what I think is going to happen with the Republicans is that somebody going to be sitting back in the bushes, in the cut, waiting until the group that has declared burns all their bridges and come out of nowhere and come out of nowhere and snag the nomination.
Now, okay, you just said the next thing that I was going to say. And I was, you know, trying to do my little research about black conservatives and things like that. And out of the seven that are prominent, I guess, I can see two on this list that would be viable candidates. Michael Steele is one. Condoleezza Rice is another one. They had seven here that people, you know, should know. But
I'll be honest with you. Both are viable candidates, but I can tell you now, they will get no love from their Republican Party. Michael Steele because although he's black, they feel like Michael Steele turned his back on them, even though Michael Steele didn't. He didn't turn his back on them. He tried to explain to them how they needed to clean up the party and be real honest about inclusivity, and they didn't like that.
Exactly. No, I agree with
Condoleezza
you on that.
Rice, Condoleezza is viable. But
you told the
Condoleezza
line.
Rice's problem is she's connected to a Bush. And that would be her downfall.
She is that, but when you look at the bigger picture of Bush versus 45, even he seems appealing. Now, you know, if it were me, and I was like, if I could pick out any GOP person that I thought really could do this, it would be somebody like a Colin Powell or somebody in that vein. And the only person on this list that comes close to that is somebody like John Edward James. He is a Tea Party Republican. He's ex-military. He owns his own supply chain business in Detroit. And I'm like, okay, but of course he has no name recognition. So they
right.
would have
and
somebody like that.
Name recognition has a lot to do with it, but I'm gonna tell you what they're really gonna need. They're gonna need somebody that doesn't have any major baggage. Zero. Zilch. And that's going to be hard. And in order to find that, they're going to have to go look for some new blood. And that's hard in the Republican Party. And the reason why I say it's hard is because so many Republicans have attached their names to some of the dumbest stunts pulled lately.
I guess
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene even had the nerve to say, you know, maybe I could pull this off.
God help her if she does, because you're going to be all over her like white on rice.
Can you see Margie Three Toes running for president?
Only if she has Lauren Boebert as her running mate.
I can
see the two of them freaking frat going for it. Yeah.
John McCain had Sarah Palin, so crazier stuff has been known to happen.
I know, and that was surprising for me. But he was trying to get a certain demographic of, you know, Republican white women, and I, you know. Palin was an embarrassment. There's no nice way to put that. There is no nice way to put
that. Let's talk about what's real. And that is, we always talk about the people holding office. But let's be honest. Let's talk about the people voting for office. Because certain people would not get in if they didn't get voted for. So
true.
People like Boebert. Marjorie Taylor Greene. The only way they get in the office is that people vote for them. So what does that say about the people out there casting their votes?
Exactly.
Did you vote for them because you felt like they were the lesser of two evils, or did you vote for them because you truly believe in the hate that they spit? You truly believe in the evilness that they put out there?
Now,
that how you
those
feel?
Are excellent questions. Those are excellent questions. And people really need to look carefully at the way that you frame that, because if you are looking to vote for hate, that's the internal problem, and that's saying something really terrible about our country, Tony. I mean, when you think about the KKK, when you think about neo-fascists, when you think about Christo-fascists and what they want to do if they were to get in office, what is that going to do to democracy in America if we already know what these people believe and what they think and we vote for them anyway?
Well, think about it. In Florida, in Florida, we had the instances where Nazi symbols were shined on certain buildings and certain hateful slogans were put out for overpasses. And Governor DeSantis didn't say a mumbling word about it.
See.
He said absolutely nothing.
And that just gives them more traction.
Yes. But yeah, it gives them more traction. But what does that say about you as a leader? Now, you claim you want to be the president of the United States. But as a president, if you're going to stand there and allow this kind of stuff to flow and even 45 is stupid. As stupid as he was about certain things, even 45 had sense enough to realize at certain points, nah, even though I might feel that way, I can't be seen going with that flow.
Mm.
He figured
that
out.
So if DeSantis gets elected, that's going to be the new DT 2.0, and that is the kind of hate that just cannot be tolerated in this country. And I've heard people talk about culture wars and things like that. It's going to be more than a culture war if somebody that hateful gets in the office, Tony. I really think that it'll be a second civil war. And I'm not calling for that. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen. And I know that there are some Republicans, some members of the GOP, who are decent people. They need to be speaking up about what's happening in Florida and who these people are that are running for office. They need to get that conscience lit, that pilot light lit on their conscience, and do something about this, because our country is at stake.
Yes, it is. It is. But not only Florida. Look at Texas. Look at Arkansas. For... oh, God. You know, for Sarah Huckabee Sanders to make that statement, you know, if you live in a blue state and, you know, you're just tired of what's going on and you're tired of not being able to have a living wage, come to Arkansas. We have so much to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas is running neck and neck with Mississippi.
In education. Yes, indeed.
So, education, employment-wise, come on now. You don't have much to offer folks, because you too have a hateful state government. And
exactly.
Instead of you trying to improve, you're attacking gay folks. You're attacking Hispanics. You're attacking blacks. You're playing the critical race theory game. Instead of trying to build something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, this is, I don't think our country has been more divided philosophically Civil War, the things that we're going through, you know, people are going to have to pick a side, and they're going to have to decide what's more important. And I'm not saying everybody has to think the way that I think. I'm not saying that, you know, it's all of one. Or, no, I'm saying that there has to be compromises in order to get along. Because if we keep going along the way that we're going, we're going to self-destruct. And what poses to be a democracy is no longer going to exist. And that is going to be a terrible thing. So people better get ready for the hatefulness that's coming their way with this, with these candidates, these GOP candidates, and what they're spewing. And remember, if they're spewing this hate, who's going to benefit from that if they get in office? Who's going to benefit from that hateful thought process, that hateful mindset if they get in office? That's something to think about.
Because I can guarantee you it won't be everyday people. The Freedom Caucus, which is making so much noise lately, they've already said that Kevin McCarthy has sold out the GOP, and we're going after him. These are the same people. These are the same people who helped Kevin McCarthy become Speaker of the House.
Right.
But yet,
you're right.
All of a sudden, he's their enemy. And some of these people were the same ones patting him on the back the very night he won the speakership.
Wow.
So
wow.
Who is the Freedom Caucus going to trot out there to take his place? Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, who?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Biggs?
See. It's frightening. And these people, what's even more frightening to me is the fact that they really believe that they're right. They believe that they are doing the right thing for this country. Or if not, then they're doing it as a benefit for themselves and their cohorts. There's got to be some sort of payoff. And this is why I was asking the question, what is their end game? What is it that they want to happen in America? It's not going to be good for everyday people. The same thing that you just said not too long ago, everyday people are going to lose out. And I mean everyday people of all colors. Not going to be a good thing.
I want you to take a look back. Look back to when Japanese Americans were put in internment camps in California. Look back to when Black Americans, period, had their land taken, didn't care what state you was in. Black townships were raided because they were successful. And if you look at how red states are governed right now and the attacks, gay rights, transgender children, blacks in critical thinking, diversity. Think about what's being done right now. See, the war is already on, whether people want to admit it or not. They're already making steps. There was a doctor who gave a 10-year-old girl an abortion in a state in that few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually went after that doctor, fined him a big fine, and threatened to take their license. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it was in one of those red states. Not because they gave no thought about that child's health. And the girl was 10 years old.
Right.
Victim of rape.
Right.
Gave no thought about that child's health. Gave no thought about that child's psyche. All they could think was the doctor did something wrong that we don't appreciate.
Abortion is murder, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. the abortion right. is murder crowd.
Mm-hmm.
There is a group of people out there, and unfortunately, like you said, they're going to march this country into self-destruction. They're going to march this country into a path that we will not be able to recover from for a long time.
Absolutely.
And you and I may not live to see it. And the sad part is there are good people out there, but they are not being listened to.
No. No, they're not. No, they're not. And you're absolutely right, Brother Bullock, when you say the war is already on. I'm glad you said that because it's true.
There is no way in the world that I, being a veteran of the United States military, signed up on my own, went to defend this country on my own, would have thought this is what I would have come back home to watch this country turn into something that I don't even recognize.
Right.
There are days I sit and wonder, what the hell happened? How did we get on this path of just downright stupidity to a certain extent?
Right.
When is the light bulb going to go on for us to make a major change to get back on the right path?
I agree. And, you know, it's important for listeners to understand that this is not just about the GOP or the Democrats. This is about making the country livable for all of us by, you know, electing the best person for the job, and only the numbers will tell that. But you're right. I don't think we're going down a path that we're going to come back from unless some major changes happen. And I really say right now, and I agree with you, we may not live to see it, but I am counting on the young people in this country to turn this around and to understand that we have more in common than we are. We're more alike than we are disalike. That we can agree to disagree without being hateful and killing each other. We can do that. We can wipe out poverty, or at least reduce it by 75%. There's enough money, enough millionaires and billionaires in this country to do that if only they were getting taxed properly. So let's not say that there's not enough resources to make things better in this country, because there are. Everybody needs to pay their fair share, because Lord knows poor people in the middle class do. We can do better, people. We have to do better for the future, for our kids and our grandkids, our great nieces and our great nephews. We have to do better.
You're right. We have to do better. But we got to want to do better. And even though we titled the show GOP, What is Their End Game? We tried to cover a broad area because I realize, even though we're talking about the GOP is still part of the country. And
right.
those red states are still the United States of America. People go to the polls and vote. And again, politicians don't get elected if you don't vote for them. So the thing is, what is your mindset? Are you the type of person to strictly hate someone because of their skin color, their sexual orientation, the way they carry themselves?
Mm-hmm.
One thing about this country is people are real good at saying live and let live, but yet don't truly practice that.
Come on.
You want to get mad at someone because they're not living the way you live? That's absolutely ludicrous to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love how people like to hold up the Bible and holler, this is the book we need to follow, but yet don't follow it.
Come on now.
Now, the God I serve was the kind of cat that sat down with everybody. Black, white, pink, and purple. He didn't care what your groove was. He just told you what his was about, and it was up to you to choose how you dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yes, we talked about
Jesus was
we talked
heaven.
About
people forget that.
We talked about Republicans tonight because that was where we were coming from. Yes, I talked about the state of Florida a lot. Why? Because right now the state of Florida is catching it. Why? Because they have a leader who, for whatever his reason is, wants to play this game like he's large and in charge, but he only large and in charge for certain people. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be his downfall.
See?
That's going to backfire. One thing about national politics, when you decide you're going to step out there, don't think that you just going to get your crowd. And don't think that you're going to make people forget the things you have done and overlook you. And I don't care that people want to claim Casey DeSantis is supposed to be the new Jackie O. You can quit telling that lie.
Mm-hmm.
45 thinking he getting ready to run it back. Quit telling that lie. Chris Christie, don't do it. They setting you up. Tim Scott, I already know you're suffering. I'm not even going to go there with you.
Ditto for Larry Elder.
Same for Larry Elder. Larry Elder, who ran his much so much that he can't even go to his old neighborhood in California. See, the lies you tell will eventually follow you home.
Yes, they will. And nobody's asking for people to be perfect. That's not what we're talking about, because everybody's human and can make human mistakes. But they can do better. That's all I'm going to say. They can do better.
They can be honest and do better. So with that, I'm just going to be honest and say I hope that somebody in the GOP wakes up tomorrow and has a new reckoning, has a new mindset, because sticking to what they're doing now, they in big trouble. And I'm not saying that the Democratic Party is perfect. You'll never hear me say that, because the Democratic Party has got its own problems. I see it on a daily basis. But if we're going to make this country work, those of us out here every day got to get together, work together, and make it happen, because your vote is your voice.
Amen.
Sister Reed, what you got to say in closing?
Well, I just want to say, whatever your political leanings are, if you are not registered to vote, please get registered. And when you have the opportunity to vote, please do so, because the future of this country is at stake. I don't want to sound dramatic, but that's the way it is. And my closing words are what I usually say, always say. It's about a mindset. So we want you to stay black until we get back with you. Brother Buller?
Yes, indeed. And once again, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them trained up, get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop. Watch the people who are watching us as we go deeper into 2023, into election year 2024. Get your people registered. But not only get registered, learn about the candidates out there nationally, locally, in your state. Find out what is driving the country. And work hard at making the country a better place.
Absolutely.
Like Sister Reed said, you don't have to think like us. You ain't got to be like us. But be honest in your approach and your convictions. That's all we ask of you. Those of you listening, I appreciate you. To my international audience, I definitely appreciate you, because there are many things that you could be doing other than listening to us. Those of you locally, time to get involved. Everybody stay tight. Love your loved ones. Pull them close. And until next week, unless you hear something different, we'll holler.